I'm just going to go over a whole bunch of things today that I didn't want to put that back over here and everything, so I'm just going to come down here because we're all set up for tomorrow night for Christmas Eve service, and it's going to be good. I think that I really don't know what's going on, but I've been too busy working. But I want to just share the vision of our church a little bit. I think the Bible says without a vision, we perish. And the Bible says in Habakkuk, if you don't keep that vision before you, then you don't know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there? Right? If you don't know where you're going and what your purpose is in life. And one of the things that I've been thinking about in my own life, because every time in this last month, I probably did six or seven funerals. And it's a part of life. Every one of us, we live and we die. And it's not always easy because it's just not easy. Even for me, because I become friends with people. And I don't just pastor people. I actually become friends and love people. And so you know you're going to see them again someday. And I come back to thinking of the purpose, why we do what we do. Why do we do, or what is the purpose of a church? Is it so, you know, I can be the boss and I have a whole bunch of little people that follow me, and it ain't nothing like that. I don't care if people call me Pastor John. My name is John. It's not about any of that. It's not so I can take your money, and a lot of people think, and build my little kingdom and have a fun life, because I give more to this church than I take from it. Because my purpose is not that. My purpose is the same vision of my grandfather and my father. And it was to make a difference in people's lives around here. The Bible says this, and I just want to turn there, Matthew chapter 5. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And it says, you are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all those that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. See, good works don't get you to heaven. It doesn't matter how perfect you think you are. The Bible says there's no good, not one. And that's why everybody needs Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you were on this side of the road. I don't care if you're a millionaire. Everybody needs Jesus because there's nobody perfect. And that's why the law, the Ten Commandments came. And if they kept the Ten Commandments and they kept the law in the Old Testament, and then, you know, they could enter in. Well, nobody could keep it. Nobody could do it. That's why Jesus had to come. And then it says here, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I think of this, I think of treasures. I look at life today, and I see so many people that have so much stuff and are so unhappy. Because they don't know the truth. And what I'm saying is this, and neither did I for many years. They think that, where is your trophies, really? Like, we have a trophy. We have trophies for hockey. You know, we have trophies on walls. I think my trophies are in the dump. Because after a while, what do you do with them, right? You just throw them out. They get broken. But what really is your trophy? You think about this in your life. What is what you want to be remembered for? And I think of this. What is your... You know, we all think in our own mind. We don't even say it, but we all think, this is what we're going to do, or this is where we want to go, or this is, you know, if I can get to this point. And most of it's meaningless. Who was that in the Bible said meaningless, meaningless? Job was. Huh? Solomon, yeah. It's meaningless. Because the trophies that I had, and I began to look at my life, and the reason I share this is because I could want our church in this new year, and in this year, it doesn't matter, like, I'm not a dates, and you can ask my wife. Like, you know, Christmas and next year, it's not a, like a whatever, it's just life, right? We're here. And while we're here, we want to make a difference. And I begin to go over my life, and I begin to see the things that brought fulfillment. See, and I'm going to say this really quickly, because I'm trying to share a vision, because sometimes we get so caught up in our own life that that all we think about is ourselves and how we're not working and how we're not, you know, we're not where we want to be, or, you know, this is going wrong or that's going wrong, and you become very dissatisfied, because life is not about you. Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his way of doing things, and all the other things will be added unto you. And I don't know, even know how to explain it, but the Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways, and they're certainly different than our ways. Because my ways is, if I want to be happy, or I want to have a nice motorcycle, I need to work hard and attain that, right? But God says, you just follow me, serve me, and love what I love. And what does God love? What does God love? God loves people. So if I spend my time and my life on other people, the Bible says that God's going to look after you. Do you know many years I tried to do everything I could to make my life happy? And you know this. And that's why I'm sharing this, is because I tried everything in life. It didn't matter what it was. It doesn't matter. But to make myself happy, and I was most miserable. And then all of a sudden I came and I give my heart to Jesus at the end of my life. Like, I had a shotgun stuck in my mouth, going to kill myself. Because I couldn't find happiness. And I had this, and I had this, and I had this, and I had this, and I had this. And I couldn't even see a future. Nothing. And I give my life to Jesus, and I'm at an illiterate point in my life. Like, I didn't know anything about life itself. But God changed my life. He gave me purpose, he gave me peace, and he changed my life forever. And I wanted everybody in the world to know the Jesus I knew. Right? And so I'm gonna share. I have a whole bunch of people here in here that I just wrote down. And I begin to think of this. Turn with me to John 14. And I know I'm taking time this morning, but I just want to share with you, because sometimes we don't realize, you know, that I have in my life, and I'm only 48 years old. Do you know that I have pretty well everything that I've ever desired in my life? And it's not houses and, you know, all this stuff. You know, I just wanted to be happy. I just wanted to be fulfilled. And I got peace. Do you know I wake up every day with peace? Do you know I every day I'm happy? Regardless of whether something goes wrong, something goes right, my joy doesn't come because nothing goes wrong. My joy doesn't come because everything's perfect in my life. Because not everything's perfect in my life. You know, I things break last night. I had a clutch go in my car. It cost me $1,000. Big deal. It's just life. See, when your joy has to come from things around you, you'll never be happy. Because life isn't perfect. I'm not perfect. Julia's not perfect. Do you know why we have such a perfect... You know why we have such a perfect relationship? You know, how come Julie? Julie, see, that's what's important to me, is my family and people. You know, how come Julie and I love one another? I don't even know why. Because I love her. Because Julie and I used to fight, like literally fight. For 2 years. I'm just telling you, when we got married, we used to fight. Like she kicked me right there.
Accidentally.
No. And fight. And get mad and you don't even know. I break doors down. Remember? She does. And all of a sudden, and I'm the pastor. Nobody knew. We would fight all the way to church. What'd you say? Yeah, it's a short trip. I would fight all the way to this church. Like, I mean, and then I'd get to church, and I'd slam the door. And I'd walk in and I'd go, how are you? And I'd look at my wife and I'd just glare at her. And then I'd preach. For some reason, God would anoint me. I don't know why. Because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And then we'd get in the car. She would think everything's wonderful again because I just preached a wonderful message. And then I would ignore her again. Is that true? Why? Why do we love? Why am I? I am good to you, are you not? For the last 25 years, I've been good to you. How long have we been married? 27 years. So for 24 years, anyways, I've treated her awesome. Do you know why? Because she still does the same things that made me mad before. And they don't even faze me anymore. I still throw my clothes on the side and she still has to pick them up if she wants it clean. And she doesn't get mad at me. She still puts the toilet paper on backwards. It's got to roll over. You got to pull it this way from the top. If you put it this way, it just keeps rolling down all on the ground. Do you know why we love one another? It's because life's too short and I chose to. Do you know what made a difference? Between my wife and my father. They taught me what love was. One day I came home and I wasn't just a nice guy. I never would literally beat my wife up. I never did that. But I hurt her worse with words. And I'd say every mean thing I could to her. And I don't know why. Because when I was doing it, I didn't want to do it. But hurt people hurt. And one day, and my wife was German too. And you know that. And she didn't know how to cook. And I'm telling you that when we first got married, could you cook? No, she knew how to chop wood. Anna Catherine knew how to cook. Because they had two girls. One hung out with mom and one hung out with dad. And I got the dad one. And I would say so many mean things. But one day, she just wouldn't fight with me anymore. She wouldn't fight. I came in. I said something mean to her. What's this crap? And she said, what would you like? She said, I'll cook you whatever you want. And she wouldn't fight with me. She said, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? And I couldn't. I didn't know what to do. She apologized to me, and I was the one wrong. And it changed my life. Because it got in my heart. My dad. See, this is what's real in life. You can go through pretending you're this and you're pretending a good guy. You're pretending all these things. But if you want to really make a difference in this life, love is the only thing that's going to change anything. Not because, see, you're not going to change people. But love changes you and your outlook on people. Because love covers a multitude of sin. I'll never forget. You know this. But when I got born again, and I've said this before, but this is the reason I'm telling this is the heart of this church. And this is what we need to do when we go out into the world. Because one day, you're like, in the last short period of time, I've done 6 funerals in the last 2 weeks. 3 weeks. You're here, and then you're gone. And the most fulfilling trophy, or that I call it, would be a trophy. You know, it's not that big house. Like we drove by last night, I took Rihanna. No, who was it? Who was with me? Grace. Were you with me, Grace, yesterday? Yes. And we drove down to, Pasco, McCluskey. And I just drove her by that in his driveway and around. Because Pasco's a friend of mine, and I just showed her the house again. Because it's a mansion. And it's beautiful. And there's nothing wrong. It's great. I wish every one of us could live in a house like that. But that doesn't make you happy. Do you know what brings me fulfillment? It's making a difference in somebody's life. And I learned that from my wife. And I learned that from my dad. And my dad's heart. As a little boy, I would be with my dad and there would be alcoholics, drunks, laying on people's lawns. And my dad, over and over and over, would not condemn them guys. But he would go and he would grab them by the pants. And he would lift them up and carry them across the yard. My dad was a lot bigger than me and strong. And he would put them in the back of the truck and he would take them home. And he would put them into bed. I mean, Teddy Liskum. How many people remember Teddy Liskum? Teddy Liskum was an alcoholic in our town. And I just think of him every Christmas. And you just know this, but this is true. Teddy Liskum was an alcoholic. He drank every day. He used to come to our church, and I remember he would sit at the back of the church, and Ray and I were little boys, and we would laugh, and we thought it was funny because he was drunk, right? And then right in the middle of church, he would da 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 And my dad would stop and say, "Yes, Teddy." And Teddy would say, "Could you sing Amazing Grace?" And my dad would sing a song for him. He would crawl up the street drunk. My dad would, every Christmas, would go and get him and bring him to our house. I remember one day, Ray and I, we always had to go in the house and get him. He had no heat in his house. It was as cold, 20 below inside, it was 20 below outside. He'd come to our house, and one day Ray, I remember it was funny, because we would help him get in because he was crippled. We would help him get in the van. And then he fell backwards, and Ray put his hand on his bum, and the poop came around his fingers through the... My dad took him home, bathed him, gave him new clothes, and I'll never forget. And am I lying, Pearl, about this? About what I'm telling you about Ted? No, I'm not lying. And my dad just loved that. And my mom came from out west, and she liked to, not all the time, but she liked to have soup or salad, a four-course meal, and then have a meal, and then dessert and pie and whatever thing. And I remember one day, he was at our house, Teddy Liskum. And why am I telling this? Because I want you to know why we are here. Because if the church people, if every person in here made a difference in one person's life, and then them made another difference in people's lives, it's not about us and our lives. As soon as I begin to think of other people, that's all we've ever done in our life. As you know, I have 13 kids. And I should just think of my own kids. But you know how many people we help outside of our kids? And we don't even think of our kids because God looks after our kids. Like, God just blesses us so we can still do the... What I'm saying is, you can't outgive God. The Bible says when you give to the poor, you give to the Lord. And the Lord repays. Whatever you sow, you reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. See, the Bible says when you go out and you help the poor, what did God's... The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? And so, and by, the Bible also says that he leaves the 99 and he goes out and he looks for the one lost or broken person. And he says he rejoices more over all that one. Why? And see, sometimes churches today in society, they overlook or they don't want to deal with the dirty people or the broken people or the people that might make them look bad. I think of Doc. Do you remember Doc?
Yes.
Doc was a friend of mine. I remember I used to preach after my life got changed. I grew up around bikes and bikers and that. And I wasn't as bad as a lot of them. I just got into a lot of the wrong spots at the wrong times. Anyways, I ended up, after I got born again, I remember preaching down in Niagara Falls at an outlaw, Hell's Angels, biker. They asked me if I would come and tell my testimony. Do you remember, let me tell you this. Wasn't it, Alex? God spoke to me. This is how I got, I'm trying to think how I got in there. God spoke to me. How many have ever heard of the Writer's Mag? It's like Easy Rider, but low end. It's got the same stuff, girls, everything about cops, bad. How to grow dope, prostitutes. You don't want this book. Like, I wouldn't want your kids to get it. And I'm at a motorcycle show. This is how God works. I'm at a motorcycle show, and God says to me, I want you to buy this magazine. No. I want you to get us a year's subscription, okay? I know that now. Of this magazine. And I said, I'm not wasting. I didn't have any money back then. We were just starting out. We'd had nothing. And it was like $50. $50 for what? For the year? And the Lord says, I want you to get a year's subscription to this. So I go to the guy. This guy's, Brad, you know him. 6'6", beard down to here, tattoos head to toe. And I'm not afraid of people. But I'm not stupid either, right? And I think of God. I think of my whole life. This is why I'm sharing this stuff. I think of my whole life. Everything God's ever asked me to do was for a purpose to reach people. It wasn't so for me, so I could get more. And in the process of that, I look now, and everything I've ever wanted, God's given it to me. So I argue with God and said, I'm not buying a biker's magazine. And he said to me all day, I want you to do it. I'm over at Barry at the flea market at an outlaw bike rally. Because we with Eternal Riders used to go there all the time. And anyways, so finally I went up to the guy and I just said to him, because I couldn't read and I couldn't write when I was 20. And so I was still in that first 4 or 5 years where I couldn't read and write. And so I went and I said to the, I went up to this guy and I said to him, I didn't know it was subscription. I called it a prescription. And I went up to him and I said, I'd like to get a year's prescription of your magazine. And he looked at me and he said, this isn't an effing drugstore. Because he didn't like Christians, right? And I didn't know what to say. Like, well, I said, well, whatever it is, please, I just want to get your magazine for the year. Well, he said, fill the effing thing out. That's exactly how he taught me. So I filled it out. I was embarrassed. I'm giving away $20 that I hardly have for this stupid thing I'll never read. And I didn't know why. Anyways, about a year later, he phones me up one day and he says to me, hey, we have a place in here. Do you want to write an article in this magazine about God? I said, sure. Can't write, but I'll do something like that, sure. And so I wrote an article about, I wrote it, and then my wife made it sound normal. Did I not? I wrote it, I told her exactly what to say, and then she just made it into paragraphs and put dots where they're supposed to be and capitals where they're supposed to be and hyphens where they're supposed to be, and mine's just one big line. And buts, and I put buts in there, and she says, you don't do that, but I still don't know that. I still do it. And I wrote it, and this guy got born again because he didn't realize the life I lived. This guy, the son, got born again. He gave his heart to Jesus. And then down the road, his dad that started this magazine was so angry with us, with his son, for letting a bunch of pussies, Christians, write in this magazine that he started. It's true. And one day, I asked my dad, would you write an article for me? Because my dad was an alcoholic. My dad worked one whole summer. He said he worked for like $1 a day, wasn't it? He bought this truck. He got drunk. And his first drive, he wrapped it around a tree. Like, he worked all summer. And it was all gone in one 15-minute ride. And then my dad just He just shared about a story coming up through the war, and how he just was trying to find happiness, and how he got born again, and how God changed his life. My dad was a lot bigger than me, and when he was young, there was a restaurant over here, and he would get up on the counter and go to sleep, and everybody was afraid of him. So they just let him sleep on the counter. Like on, you know, everybody, the stools, what do you call it? A bar counter. And he'd just go right up on top and sleep. When he wake up, he'd get up and go back in his grader and go grading again. And he just shared about his life. And this guy read it, and he got born again. The father did. And they phoned me, and they told me. He said, "My dad gave his heart to Jesus after reading your magazine." And because of that, they asked me to come down and preach. How do you preach to 1,000 outlaw bikers that don't even want you there? But this one guy did. So, I mean, I'll never forget it, because I preached to 1,000 people. I preached to 10 people. But I've never preached to 1,000 bikers. Because they had wet t-shirt contests before me. And then I get up there, and they said, "John Trotter." And you know what bike shows are like. Like, nothing stops. There might be 5 people that come and listen to you. Well, I want to tell you, I said, "God, what am I supposed to say?" And I got up on the stage, and I was nervous. I was nervous. I wasn't ashamed. I've never been ashamed of God, because I know that when I give my heart to Jesus, everything I ever looked for, I got when I got born again. Was something inside that I looked for. I was looking for it, motorcycles, looking for cars. I was just looking for peace and happiness. And I knew I knew my life changed. And I just got up there, and I didn't know what to say. And I just said this: "I know what it's like to have people make fun of you. I know what it's like to be picked on and to be hurt. I know what it's like to be beat up. I know what it's like to be shot. I know what it's like to be stabbed. I know what it's like to be molested. I know what it's like to be by myself. And I just went on. And I just went on. I don't even know what I said. And I said, but at the last, I said, and God knew exactly what it was like. And he still loved me. And he still changed my life. And he still gave me purpose. And when I was done, you couldn't hear a pin drop in that whole place. Well, Doc John came here to me after. He just got out of prison. He shot over 10 guys. He got to me aside. He was a tattoo artist at that show doing a tattoo. And he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, I don't want to talk to you here, but I want to talk to you." So after the show was over, we walked Niagara Falls for an hour and a half talking about God. He was in jail in the hole for years. He said, I think I got born again in jail. Because the only thing they give me was a Bible. And he said, I used most of it to smoke. And then God made himself real to me one day. And he gave his heart to Jesus with me, knowing what he was doing. And that guy still is serving God today. See, that's the trophies that I look at. The Bible says one day, every one of us are going to stand before God. And we're going to stand before Him, and everything that we've done of ourselves, you know, for me. And it's not wrong. Listen to me. It is not wrong for you to have nice vehicles, million-dollar homes. None of that stuff's wrong. But what's valuable to God is people. And what you've done for people is what I believe you're going to be rewarded with when you're in heaven. Because he says when the fire of God starts to burn, everything that we've done of ourselves is going to be burned up. And the only thing that's going to be left is what we've done for Him. Well, what can you do for God? Like, what can I do for Pascal McCluskey? Because he's my friend, right? He has everything. What can you do for him? Nothing. Like, what can you do for God? Well, you can do what God loves. And what does God love? People. The Bible says this, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the world would be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world. Some churches don't know this scripture. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world would be saved. John 14 says, and I'm just going to read it quickly because it's almost 12 o'clock and I'm not going to go on, but this is the heart of this church, is God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. How can I be a part of God becoming real in other people's lives? Because one day, we're going to pass from this life to the next, and the only thing that we've done for Him is what's going to last for eternity. And Jesus said here in John 14, and I'm saying this because I say this at funerals, but this is true. Jesus said here, let not your hearts be troubled. It says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, they in me be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says to him, Lord, how do we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, Jesus is the way. He is the way. How will you, and I don't know the answer to this, but how do you go into a world where people are broken? And I want to give you a clue. How do you break into people's worlds when you're on the outside? The only thing I know is this one thing. I don't know all the answers, but I know this one thing. The Bible says love covers a multitude. And I know this, that God has told me. Do you remember this guy over here, Julie? I'm not going to say who it is. But you remember, this guy was the most ignorant. When I was young, he was a biker, and he grew pot. Like 40 years ago. And I knew all about him because we were friends. And when I got born again, he hated my guts. And see, he thinks he got busted because he used to have two, you know, in everybody's backyards up here in the country, they have about four vehicles that are rotted into the ground. And in them vehicles was his stash. And somebody ripped him off one day, and the cops got involved. And they thought, I think he thinks that because I knew everything, that I squealed on them. I've never squealed on a person in my life, even to this day. I know so much stuff. I don't tell on people. I've never done that. It's just not who I am. It's not my job. And I said, God, what can I do? Because I was praying for this guy. And this guy wasn't not, like most people don't dislike me, but they don't let you in their world. And so one day I seen him out splitting wood and I stopped and he knows me because we did martial arts together. And I said to him, hey, how are you? And he was hard in here. And you know what? I said, God, give me an opportunity to do something for that man. And one day, he was splitting wood. And I just went home and I got my wood splitter and I brought it down and I dropped it off. I never said a word. And then I seen him and his brother said, hey, we're done with it. You can come get it. And anyways, God healed that whole thing and softened his heart. And I got the chance to talk to him about God. I think of the guy that molested me, how God gave him a chance to talk about God. I think of Bobby Duran, which was murdered, which was only 26 years old. Or 27. How I had him, a little guy. He stole from me. He did stuff to me. But I just loved him because I love Bobby. And Bobby's in heaven today. He gave his heart to Jesus. I think of Joanne. I think of what was that? What's that guy's name? David Hilker is in heaven today. I think of all these kids that are in already gone to heaven. That's a trophy to me. Now, they're not my trophy, but what I mean is that's what's important to me, because you know we're going to live, you know eternity is forever, and you know we're going to be in heaven together forever. That's why my dad and my grandfather and us do what we do at this church, not like most churches. We love people here. We want you to we want the single moms that are on drugs in here. We don't care if they come messed up, because I know that God will change their life. I know that God will give them a purpose. I know that God will change their lives. I want the rich people in here because they need Jesus just as bad. But it doesn't matter. And this is the thing. God has given, there's not one person in here today that does not have influence in a sphere of influence. There's every person. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a preacher to be used by God. Every one of us has influence over people around us. And you can make a difference in their life by the way you treat them, by the way you love them, by the way you react to them. Because when it's all said and done, it's what about the kingdom of God? I don't want to stand before God, and I'm going to end with this. I don't want to stand before God one day and he says, what did you do? And I start thinking, well, I did everything for me. I did it all for me. And then fire comes and it's all gone. And I still get to heaven. I'm in heaven. And I look and I see all the people that I knew. And they're all in hell. because I thought I was too good to help them. I don't want that to happen to me. It's not up to me whether people go to heaven. But if I can go and make a difference in their life, and if I have to eat something and say sorry when I'm not even wrong, what does it matter? Because it's eternity. Torment for eternity. That's why we love people here. That's why it's okay if I see somebody, some mom comes in here that have never disciplined their kids in life, and the kids are up on the stage and they're talking to me, grabbing my mic, and some people are like, come on, young, discipline that. You know what? How you can't change a kid in 1 hour when for 5 years they've done. So I'm just glad they come. I don't care if they're running around or crying and yelling. I'm just glad they're here. Father, Lord, I just thank you. And I just praise you, Father, for being so good to me that you sent Jesus for me. And you loved me the way I was, in the state I was. And I still got a long ways to go. But Lord, keep my heart soft towards people. Because it's so easy to get hardened, because people do wrong to you every day. People do wrong and say wrong things to me every day. But help me, Lord, keep loving people in spite of people. I know there's so many people that have been disappointed. And they feel like quitting. They feel like it's never going to ever break open for them. But it will. See, God's not a liar. You just got to stick with him. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your mercy that endures to generation to generation to generation. You love people. Let this church continue to love people. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. And I give you glory. And I give you praise for it. I am so thankful for our church family that are here. The ones that are away on holidays. Father, I just give you glory for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.